Hello humans, and am I hosting the fucker? Hello humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
I am Sean.
This is episode 165 of Audio Face.
Yes.
And we've got a nice little interesting week of music. We've got visions of bodies being burned by clipping. Tongue presents Death Club, an album by Tongue. And we have the glorious return of No Chill Island. It's going to be a challenge for me to figure out which number it is, No Chill Island, between this moment right now and when we actually do it. But we've done many No Chill Islands, probably too many No Chill Islands, if we're being honest.
But it's been a while.
It's definitely been a while.
It's been a long time coming.
And it's been a long time coming. And apparently there was some sort of a election ball this week that happened.
I mean, the only one I know of is in Bolivia, but you know.
Yeah, I'm not really that much of a political person. If I were, there'd be a podcast called Power Report where we would,
we make fun of Nate Silver.
You also watch the newest podcast, and it's almost like I'm in a trance state of just like going in on pundits left and right. Like I had a pure dissociative experience, like nailing MSNBC pundits. But check that out. You'll want to see it. It'll be great. In non-reality, because I'm not a political person. But anyways, on this podcast, we don't have singles this week. We do have a couple singles we will revisit next week, but it's just been really busy. But we can go into it. The first thing we'll start with is another thing returning from Audio Face, the Deaf Corner. And the music world was roiled by the sudden passing. Of course, I'm talking about Ken Hensley, the original keyboardist and songwriter of Uriah Heep, who has died at 75. I was talking about someone else. We'll get there in a moment. But yes, he was a multi-instrumentalist. Uriah Heep was a UK band in the 70s and 80s. Like, kind of typical of that thing. But really, ended up being instrumental, like a lot of these artists are, to the sounds of artists who grew up during that era and then started making music at that point once you get into like the 90s, aughts, things like that. His brother Trevor reported the death saying, "We're all devastated by this tragic and incredibly unexpected loss and ask that you please give us some space and time to come to terms with it. Ken will be cremated in a private ceremony in Spain, so please don't ask for information about a funeral. Ken is gone, but he will never be forgotten and will always be in our hearts. Stay safe out there." So, of course, with any sort of death, as we do this a lot on Audio Face, hearts out goes to the families of the loved ones and friends. It's just that time where all of the greats from this era are just like passing of natural causes. So it's happening, but sad for that.
Sad nonetheless. And then we have people who are killed way too young.
Yeah.
So there's Keen Vaughn was shot and killed in Atlanta Friday morning. There's a gunfire erupted outside an Atlanta nightclub, and he was shot and killed. I guess there's like a big altercation that extended with gunfire happened with a bunch of guys
outside of Atlanta's Monaco Hookah Lounge shortly after 3 a.m. local time.
Damn, he got killed at a hookah lounge. Oof.
It's rough. It's alleged by Hot New Hip Hop that there's unverified social media reports saying that King Von and a group of his supporters were tussling with 21-year-old rapper Quando Rondo. Quando signed to NBA's Young Boys label, aptly called Never Broke Again.
It was Never Broke Again. Yeah.
And so, like,
we've never dead again.
So, I mean, this is a separate story. Of course, like, King Von, we didn't talk about him that much on Audio Face because there are a lot of artists to talk about on there, but it's another case of you have a celebrity or an artist who had a career ahead of them, but dies too young because of, like,
an album, like, last week, I believe.
Yeah. Something very recently, I know that, but he was born August 9th, 1994, so not too much older than even we are. Rappers from Chance the Rapper, YG, sending out their thoughts and prayers, non-ironically, but seriously. Someone who is choosing this time to, in an almost Audio Face way of celebrating death, is 6ix9ine. We haven't talked about this troll much recently because he's a troll, you know, we're talking about, et cetera, Audio Face, but he decided to comment on an Instagram post by Academics when he was finding out and saying, "Pray for all Von family and his friends." 6ix9ine commented on the post with like a laughing emoji. And like 6ix9ine has always been feuding with Chicago-based rappers. It's one of those things where now we're getting into when
rap beef.
when rap beef, like when rap gets real, when you actually have beefs and you're actually picking fights and having arguments that are bleeding into the gang realm of things with your celebrity. And 6ix9ine is just shown that like he has no sort of like ability or depth or skills at handling that kind of responsibility. And so he'll just troll and be stupid and get himself into witness protection like five times over before actually doing anything. But like, we shouldn't use this like 6ix9ine, that's a moment that he's being kind of annoying here. But King Von and the two or three others who were shot and killed with him should be in people's thoughts right now rather than dealing with the kind of clownery that is 6ix9ine.
Exactly.
That's Death Corner. We don't usually start Audio Face with a Death Corner, but the rest of this podcast is going to be quite interesting and enlightening, and a lot of good stories, especially No Chill Island coming up. So we got through that. We'll get to an album in just a moment, but really fast, make sure you're following Audio Face Pod on Twitter or Instagram, or go to youtube.audioface.show, where every weekday we have new clips from the show that you can watch on YouTube. So it's even more convenient than listening to the whole podcast. The whole podcast is fun. I know I like producing it, but the YouTube clips make it also easy to share things as well. Mm-hmm. So we encourage you to do that. Our Gorillaz review really blew up. Our talk about Joe Rogan and Kanye West, more on Kanye later, blew up. So check it out. It's fun. Now we have a review of Clipping, lowercase letters, period at the end, with Visions of Bodies Being Burned, 16 songs, 52 minutes
That's
long.
That's an album title.
Death is a lot of the topic.
This is a really death-heavy podcast today, Jesus.
Yeah.
Just realized that.
This is very experimental rap and hip-hop. I'd say in the realm of Injury Reserve or Death Grips, in a way.
Death Grips. It even reminded me of Childish Gambino, his release earlier this year, a couple of the tracks, too.
Yeah.
Kind of that, like, mixing really dark themes of electronic with rap and doing a lot of different styles and stuff, a lot like Death Grips, which is interesting. I always like the sound, and I think it needs to be explored a bit more.
Yeah,
for sure.
And Clipping have been for a while. This isn't their first project. They've released a couple of little things. Mm-hmm. There's Mid-City in 2014, Clipping, self-titled, sort of. Also in 2014, Splendor and Misery in 2016, and Face in 2018. And there was even an album last year that a lot of it was similar, like even the album cover looks very similar, but with Visions of Bodies Being Burned, it's just like a very nice respite from the usual trap that we always hear that's very similar.
For
even
sure.
Like this year's brand of new trap, which is just like a Gunna copy and remake over and over and over again. But this is refreshingly different. I mean, the intro is true to form, Clipping. If you understand audio engineering, clipping is what happens when you have a sound that reaches above 0 decibel levels. Mm-hmm. And you start to hear this really bad noise. Whenever we say rip headphone users, it's because we've done something on our microphone so loud that like I'll be able to edit out a little bit, but it's clipping. Yeah. It's hitting that top point where like you've made it
it's
so
just
loud.
Static.
Digitally, you've made it so loud to where the file can no longer really read it and it's just static.
Yeah.
And then you get a lot of that clipping in the intro, kind of throughout it as a...
It's little things here or there.
That helps keeps the theme together, even though it's not like necessarily pleasant to hear. But I understand like it's literally their name and their theme, so I give it a pass.
I like it because like it literally at the intro, it literally has clipping at the bottom. It's like, that's kind of fitting. And then it goes into say the name, and it's this really dark beat of like really more... morphed vocals and stuff into the beginning, and just underlying bass theme, and it's pretty simple with like the spoken word that goes into it, and it's dark, and I really enjoy that for that opening track because it kind of gets you to see what sound it's going to be, and you don't get to hear this sound that much. Streets bleed sweet syrup, the bees love it. They coming on a swarm and they raining on your college ass disco. Get your collar turned up in your freshest attire. Get your bitch womb ready because this baby gonna be fire. Not a dream, it's a memory. Memory glands heavy in the sky, blacked out already. Stop screaming. The flames ain't shit to a demon. Say the name. I thought you have like this little interlude and stuff going and going to 96 Neve Campbell, and that goes hard.
I love it so much
because
both
it's
the
like
rappers
mixed,
kill the shit out of it.
Yeah, because it's Clipping with Cam in China, and it's a really cool mix of new age hip-hop, old school hip-hop, and dark EDM style of mixing a bunch of different styles into one song, and it's so cool. I ain't claiming shit if I ain't even profit, you feel me? I've been a boss, kill him off, never say shit. Bitches better miss me with that fake shit. Forgive me if I'm blind, cause I only got my mind on the mill. I ain't worried well unless you done a deal. Shit, I'm looking for the pen, I ain't trying to make amends. Yeah, I see the money talk, you ain't even making sense. Keep a killer on my right, killer can, what we finna do? Knock these bitches off, and that's simply for the principle. This bitch boss. Yeah, I really like it where it's, no mercy. It's a lot that's in this, and I like it.
It's like, these aren't perfect comparisons, but if you appreciate the avant-garde rap style of, like we mentioned, Injury Reserve or Death Grips, but even Big Fish Theory from Vince Staples, where he
I could see that too.
He played with a lot of electronic music artists, and you weren't getting EDM sounding anything, but you got those elements producing rap music and creating these interesting drops and clangs and experimentations that definitely set it apart production-wise. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing is going to sound like this, thank God. I mean, like, thank God in a good way, because it gives it a uniqueness and it gives it really great. Plus that throwback to, that's one thing I miss about 90s hip-hop, like the old heads have. You had more of, like, multiple women rappers getting on a track and just, like, murdering the verse near the end. Like, we should just have more of that.
This is how it is for this, and it's awesome. It's a really, really unique track, and I enjoyed that part a lot, and I'm like, okay, this is cool. After that, you have some more, like, something underneath is basically just, like, straight up, like, experimental music right there, where it's just doing a bunch of different stuff, a spoken word, and that's when you get into more of messing with different electronic sounds, messing with a bunch of different things in a studio and just seeing what the hell works.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, it's a lot of sounds there, but it's different.
Yeah. We got another Audioface favorite, She Bad.
Yeah.
Is the name of a song.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I'm like, oh, that's a funny title for it.
Yeah, different from the YG Cardi B song, of course. But in the middle of the album, you just get a... You get rewarded by, if you take the chance and take the plunge in listening to this very experimental, eclectic album, you're rewarded with definitely experimental sounds and an experimentation in that, but you're rewarded with an exploration that is unique and refined and works together, even if it doesn't fit into the boxes we normally have trap in. And that means, like, as a person who listens to a lot of, like, trap and rap music, there are certain parts where I'm like, oh, this is weird. I don't know. But, like, I appreciate the art of it. And more times than not, like, not all of these are, like, bangers that I can just listen to in any way that makes sense, unless I'm, like, video editing. But, like, there's a lot of songs in here that I can just play in normal situations that are very unique but sound very,
like,
cool.
Like, Check the Lock in the middle of the album is, I really like that track, too. Something in this room didn't used to be. Gym bottle to the face, can't fool a G. Laughing at him, he ain't never scared, though. But he checked the lock every time he walked by the door. Check the lock every time he walked by the door. Check the lock every time he walk by the door. He run the motherfucking city, it ain't no. But he check the lock every time he walk by the door. Lights out, can't nobody see in. But he see the lights outside, they be creeping. He behind the blinds, but the 4-5 peeking. Thought he heard the sirens, maybe he was tweaking. Now we got the Seagram's bottle to the face. Can't fool a G. Told his brother to be ready. Because that, like, has, like, little chime beats and stuff and makes it very industrial sounding. And that's a song, one of the few ones on here that I can really bump, but it's very unique and different too, because people are going to be like, what the hell is that? But it goes hard. I really like that track.
It goes hard. I like the narrative. I mean, lots got to be said about the vocalist and how they do this mix between speaking and rapping.
Yes.
It's a lot more spoken word than rapping, I'd say for sure. Because it's very rhythmic. It's a lot about, like, the rhythm of the way it's being spoken, less so much of, like, the rhyme or even matching it to the song. But even, with Check the Lock thematically, you're also getting this idea of someone who's, like, a gangster and a G and has all their money, but, like, they're hood rich. So, like, they do take all these precautions to make sure that, hey, regardless of where I came from, no matter how safe I feel right now, every time he passes by his front door, he checks the lock. Because he's, like, a little paranoid, but, like, not the kind of paranoid where he's, like, fuck around and find out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The rest, the bottom half is where it gets very experimental, because you get Looking Like Meat, Drove, Interlude, Eaten Alive are all just, that's where you literally get more clipping involved, and that's when it's that almost glitch trap of just doing a bunch of different sounds into it. It kind of reminded me of a little bit of Yonzi, of really messing with different sounds and stuff, just in a rap and trap more sort of way. And then you get down towards the last two tracks, and one of them, and they scene sounds a lot like Mode Selector, if you know who Mode Selector is. I don't know how many people here know who they are, or like listeners who know who they are, but it's almost like a couple of Mode Selector tracks I've listened to before, where it's really messing with a lot of glitching out a lot of different sounds into it, but within it, to where it sounds good. It's different. You got nothing to prove. You are nothing, you know.
up the pieces. Pick up the cues like a human. See what you need. Fuck are you doing? Riding round euphoria with hammers out the window, whistle crippling, crack a rainbow, make it rain, dance for your people.
And then secret piece is like really slow, almost like a instrumental thing towards the end.
Yeah, their instrumental pieces are like equal parts glitchy but also very enjoyable. It's like making the glitch itself into an instrument, and it's riding a fine line where I wouldn't call this hyperpop or like industrial or anything like that, because it's very much like a rap spoken word kind of thing. But very rarely do you see these kinds of, okay, we're gonna rap and fuck around with the project, but also care about the fucking roundness to where, even though it feel like it can at first listen seem disjointed and like kind of random, it makes production sense. Like they tried really hard to produce it in a certain way to where it, even throughout all the craziness, there is something kind of keeping it together. It's not much, I very much enjoy.
Oh, it was quite good. I really enjoyed this. So,
the arbitrary scale this week is Jeopardy categories.
And because I rip Alex Trebek.
Yeah, in honor of Alex Trebek, who died very early, but before we recorded the podcast, actually.
At the age of 80. Canada's lost a fine one there.
Yeah, a noted Jeopardy host, real one. And will be missed unironically. That being said, the podcast is Audio Face before the bodies are even cold. It's our unofficial nickname. So the arbitrary scale is going to be Jeopardy categories. And do you have an idea for this?
This is Nature for 1500, please.
Nature for 1500.
Yes.
I'm going to give this...
I love how this one really does make sense. Because that's the whole point of the arbitrary
scale. I'm going to give this... being blindfolded, wielding a baseball bat around Amazon headquarters and recounting the noise for 300.
Right.
Recording the noise.
Recording the
noise. Just make the clanging noises. Maybe you're you're that Amazon employee who was trying to unionize his people who worked at his workplace, who was fired because he was trying to bring attention to Amazon, how much people were dying from COVID or catching COVID at the Amazon warehouses, but they were doing nothing about it. That kind of shit. For 300. Anyways. Before we review our next and last album of this week, and then even before we get into No Chill Island, let's take a little glance towards the elephant.
Audio Face friend of the show, Lana Del Rey.
Yeah, because the other elephant in the room is like we had an election this week, and a lot of like different election results happened. People won, people lost, down ballot, up ballot, everywhere. But maybe you weren't paying attention on Tuesday evening, election night, when we were all watching like Steve Kornacki meth out in front of a large digital touchscreen. But Lana Del Rey was doing an Instagram live while getting dinner in Denny's and checking on the election night results. After Lana Del Rey, who was officially in competition with Power Report for live streaming during the election and providing results, was getting in touch with Nate Silver to talk about what was going on in Texas and Florida, she decided to discuss her upcoming projects. First off, we talked about Chemtrails Over the Country Club, which was supposed to come out later this year.
Yes.
But it seems like album's done, but she's plagued by the same vinyl shortages that kind of every single artist has right now.
Yeah, I remember 1975 were plagued by it, and a few others are plagued by it this year too. A lot of people had to delay it because of that.
In addition to just like general delays of producing machines, technology during COVID, there happened to be like one of the few places in the world that produces parts that are necessary to like make vinyl just like went up in flames earlier this year, just like before any 2020-ness got real 2020. So that issue with vinyl albums has been felt throughout the industry, and Lana Del Rey is clearly one as well. But yeah, it's a 16-week delay, so she's gonna... The earliest the plants will open is March 5th, it seems like.
Geez.
So it's looking like we're gonna get the album probably late March, early April, that kind of thing. So spring 2021. Great. She says that...
It's going to sound... She described the album as folky and super different from Norman fucking Rockwell. And yeah, sure. Whatever.
Sure. Okay. I don't know how much more I can really take of Lana Del Rey folky or just in general. But we'll see that album when it comes out. She also said that She plans on releasing a digital record of American standards and classics for Christmas during the whole,
What does that even mean?
Who's the singer who, like, always does the All I Want for Christmas Is You song?
Isn't that,
Mariah Carey.
Isn't that Mariah Carey?
Yeah. She's aiming to be like Mariah Carey, where, like, she has a CD full of Christmas songs, and every year, one of, Lana Del Rey's Christmas songs is on the rotation on the Christmas thing, so she just, like, gets a cash cow from that. Sure, I guess. I'm not, like, extremely looking forward to it, but long story short, because this is more than I really care about Lana Del Rey, she is going to be releasing music. She's continuing to release music. We'll talk about it to the extent that it's relevant to the mm-hmm. music world, but no further than that extent as little as possible. But yeah, it's basically delays not due to her fault. If it were her fault, we would definitely bring it up.
Yes. Second album review.
Yes.
And we last album.
Tongue presents Death Club. Dead Club.
Dead Club.
I'm just going to call the album Dead Club by Tongue because that just makes more sense. It is 12 songs, 59 minutes long, and it's a concept album in like an indie alternative kind of sense. The concept is death, and it's the exploration of death and dying and the experience of being someone who's dying, watching loved ones or people you're related to die, but in a kind of like a sardonic, somewhat cynical way. Mm-hmm. Very deep and meaningful and not like kind of respecting it, but it's like we'll go into it. Taking it from a lot of different angles in a way that like I really enjoyed, because you can pick a concept album, especially a concept album around a human emotion or phenomenon, and it can get really old really quickly. Basically all pop albums are
all the love albums,
the concept albums about love,
love, but everything just, like, this year especially bad, where it's like it's just droned out and stuff, where it's just overdone. But this is the polar opposite of it, where it's death. And you didn't get to hear a concept album about it that much. And there's a lot of themes in this where it's just, it's deep, it's heavy. This first track, Eating the Dead, is like a long little thing where it's just a very simple lo-fi drum and bass beat in the background. And it's all of the, a couple of vocalists going back into it. And it's kind of sets it up, the theme of it, going into the album. I know Death Is a New Sex is probably might be my favorite on the album. There's a couple I actually do enjoy, but this is one where it's like this is a solid indie alternative song.
Death is a new sex. Everybody's talking about it. Death is a new sex. Come and see it to focus on. Laser lights up.
It's almost like just bedroom indie, where it's so, like, it's so quiet almost. Mm-hmm. It's not like ringing drums or anything. It's just the drums are there, the keyboards and synths are there, laying over like a nice little beat, and the singer's just singing about death is a new sex. I can't do the lyrics justice really, but I think the lyrics are really funny and well thought out, and also
they're very on the nose.
Very good, yeah.
And it's funny because there is a part on the lyrics for this. It's like, this is the new sex, because that's all anybody is talking about.
Yeah.
It's death. I'm like, okay.
But like, death is the new sex and it's coming to fuck you. Like that kind
of thing. Yeah, I'm like, all right, that's a theme. But it's funny because I like it being a little bit on the nose about death, and then also while still being deep about it too. It's kind of cool to put those two in together.
Yeah.
After that, you have SDC, which is kind of similar in regard.
Swedish Death Cleaning.
Swedish Death Cleaning?
That's the what it stands for, yes.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to find it as you were talking about it, and I found it right then. I'm just like, Swedish Death Cleaning.
Yeah, because you hear it, because it's like, we are Swedish Death Cleaning, and it kind of wraps around. And this is also a good track, too, because this one sounds like a solid indie track as well, where like about like halfway through the song, you really get into like a really good beat. It gets a little bit louder. It's not just really lo-fi, and like you can kind of bop to it a little bit, because it just says "We Are Swedish Death Cleaning" over and over again, especially by the end of that track. And it sounds almost like early Two Door Cinema Club style of indie alternative, but without being really loud in your face with it. But
I really love that. I really love
that. I like.
I really love that comparison, because I was trying to figure out like what sort of in proto indie band I want to relate
like
this to.
Late 2000s, early 10s style, but mixing it, but still doing enough to where you're also mixing bedroom pop and a couple other sounds, and then some the lo-fi beats into it to kind of make it your own as well.
Because part of what I like about this album, a lot of what I like about this album is just the way it is, just very soft. It speaks without being necessarily loud. Mm-hmm. It's just like very sort of quiet and almost somber to meet the concept of the album about death. Going down, you have Three Birds, A Million Colors Carry You, which each in their own way are nice explorations of the topic. And production-wise, it's not distracting. It fits within the album. Once you tell me it's a concept album, once I realize it's a concept album, I'm all of a sudden like firing on all cylinders, grading you on how good of an album it is, because that's where it really matters. You always wonder, like, are artists, do they care about the album as a complete work? Are albums dead or not? And then concept album, you have no excuse. So for Does That, it ticks all the boxes the right way it should. Last Day is one of my favorite songs on here. I think it's just really beautiful.
I think it's cool because it also mixes in, like, there's a couple with the female vocalist where it's just, like, literally spoken word parts into it, because it's, like, almost a poem style of doing it. Because I have a couple, I think there's one song, Man, where it's just spoken over almost like Fitter Happier,
which
is just a voice. But with Last Day, it kind of mixes that on with Alon with a solid indie song as well.
Yeah.
You have a finite time, and therefore you live every day for what you do in that day. And you get to the end of the day and you count your blessings for what has happened in that day.
She finds a cozy cafe, her bones and skull vibrate.
I love that about it. And like, yeah, the message of the song is like, this could be the last like kiss, last dance, last anything of your life. So it's just like that recognition of like time being finite and all that stuff. It's really beautiful, like dark stuff.
I'm an old physicist. I'm afraid of time.
Yes, it's just amazing. So Tsunami is a really like lovely, again, beautiful ballad that are in here. It's like little bits of like nuggets of joy. And then Man is where you get to that. And then Woman, which is also a couple songs down in the way the album ends, are getting to that idea of treating death as like a sardonic, cynical kind of thing. Man specifically is about watching this man in the family and his entire family around them sort of like waiting for him to go.
His last few hundred breaths, tricky to pull in and trickling diminished out. His children argued quietly, fizzing bitterly on the lateral axis while their dad shed the weight of all the meals he'd ever eaten, all the things he'd ever been. Officious, stubborn, witty, dedicated, kind, privileged, all of these words naked and cooling towards meaningless. Pale in the unkind light, unfixing their meaning from the body. Gazing down upon him, ten of us are...
And it's a very weird place because it's... If you've had... I'll just like speak from my own personal experience. My grandmother died, and during the later years of her life, she had dementia. And it's a double-edged sword because when a person is dealing with dementia and they're not like in a home or anything, and they're like around just like doing their dementia stuff, it can be very annoying. And so like a lot of the times in the family, you're just like, okay, the dementia is going to kill her at some point. And at one point, she'll be out of her misery. So it's like you're just almost waiting for that.
Yeah.
But you don't want to say waiting for that because obviously, like, I love my grandma. We love her as a family member. But it's just like the aspects of life that are just like death staving itself
cruel.
Off are just like the things you joke about. And there's a line in Man where it's like he let out like a fart of the last gasp of air because like nothing in his body, like everything was leaving his body because it just no longer had meaning anymore. It was just the natural ending of things. And that's one of the more amazing things about this album is that, it talks about this really dicey subject that's dark and sad, but makes it funny and like real about like that. Yeah, this is like the end, but there's something sort of twisted and dark and beautiful about that. So it's really well done. It's one of those, this is definitely a wild card week.
Because I've never heard of either. I might have heard of Clipping a little bit here or there. Might have had it in different mixes and stuff. Because I've heard that sound, but it's not very common. And then Tune, I've never heard of them.
Tune, I've straight never heard of before.
Never heard of before. And this is an interesting album. Because I first listened to it, I was just... I was like kind of skipping through it a little bit, and then before I like actually listened to it straight down, it's like, okay, this is going to be interesting to see if I like this. And then when I got into it and listened to the lyrics, like, oh wow, this is actually quite good. In between Man and Woman, there is Scared of Death and Fate of the Human, which are both solid tracks into it, into themselves. And then Woman is just like with Man, it's a spoken track, but this one is way slower because with Man, there's a little bit of a guitar in the background, a little bit more upbeat. And this one with Woman is basically just like a spoken poem with like a tiny electronic keyboard in the background, and that's it.
Even darker, even more humorous, and an even more satisfying finish than Man, which is good because it's Woman's the last song. It should end the album really nicely. Good album enders, not sure, because Fairly Human just like is there, but doesn't, I don't feel like it contributes to Woman strongly. Being said, I don't want Man and Woman next to each other because I like that they have some distance in the album because you're exploring the idea and not milking it. But no, it's a really good...
it's a solid concept album.
Yeah, very solid concept album. I want to see more concept albums like this.
For sure.
Bands with a very small amount of monthly listeners on Spotify, but nevertheless just like are killing it with their sound.
It's good.
Arbitrary like Scale this week, Jeopardy categories after the late Alex Trebek.
This is Daily Double Death, please. Daily Double, you're like, death category for 300. Daily Double.
No, this is... now we're skipping, now we're jumping around with game shows, but this is Double Death 2000. Double Dare 2000.
Double Dare 2000.
Most underrated game show. I'm going to give this Suicidal Ideation for $800.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The darkest, and I don't want to like glamorize or romanticize death or suicidal ideation, but having been there, the depths to which this album goes that are also along those topics and subjects, like ruminating on death and like what does that mean and like the lasting causes of that after death. This is a really beautiful way of doing that. And again, like not to romanticize suicidal ideation, but like from that experience, hearing this album, it was done very beautifully. Mm-hmm. So I have to just give it that credit. And we always like to end the main portion of Audio Face on a fun note. Again, we are continuing to No Chill Island in just a moment. But usually on the No Chill Island episodes, I like to find a segue, something that kind of could have fit in either one. But I think this is serious enough based on a point we've been making on Audio Face since Time Immemorium that we can spend a moment on it. But the Grammys has decided to rename another music category this year. They've renamed the Best World Music category to call it the Best Global Music Album due to, quote, connotations of colonialism. So a statement that the Recording Academy released via Billboard said, over the summer, we held discussions with artists, ethnomusicologists, and linguists from around the world who determined that there was an opportunity to update the Best World Music Album category toward a more relevant, modern, and inclusive term. This change symbolizes a departure from the connotations of colonialism, folk, and non-American that the former term embodied while adapting to current listening trends and cultural evolution among the diverse communities it represents. It's interesting because,
they have some interesting racist categories that they still kind of keep in, so there's that.
Yeah, the Recording Academy dropped Urban because they used to have the best Urban album, and now they have Best Progressive R&B and Best Latin Rock or Alternative.
But they still have something in Urban, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they still use the Best Latin Pop. They still use the word in Best Latin Pop or Urban category, whatever. Yeah, like, it's... The Recording Academy has to realize that they are sitting in a time and a place where, for too long, these names and these categories have been stupid.
Yes, like exactly.
This is a soapbox I get on all the time. We get on all the time. I've been saying it now a lot outside of the context of Audio Face, so it's really funny that people are so shocked how prepared I am with all this. But R&B, rhythm and blues, is a term that was coined and existed to categorize music in the 80s, back when they needed to separate the idea of good, clean, wholesome, white pop music to shooting dice in the back alley, blues, jazz, soul music, and they had to like categorize them separately. And also note that like, okay, the pop music went for the white audiences and the black audiences tend to not really love the white pop artists, but they tend to love the R&B. So you have to create this category for a radio categorization, all those things. But it's... in every sort of aspect and turn, it's keyed in racism. Tyler, the Creator, a friend of the show, even said made the point that like the R&B category is racist. Audio Face this year, in the past 2-3 award shows, we've done Best R&B/Singer-Songwriter Album.
Yeah.
We're going to adjust that this year just because the name's really long. And I think we should move towards considering all of these as pop and then working from there. It's not perfect because there's so many genres that exist, and now as time goes on, the genres will continue to mold into new things. So we could keep creating new genres, or let's just try to figure out what we're actually awarding, as opposed to categorizing things in a very old, archaic kind of way, where this is high Western European music, and this is, what if the Grammys had an award called Best Album from the Orient? and like all of the K-pop artists and all of like the J-pop artists and like everyone just came up there and they're coming to America for the album of the Orient. These are it's obscene that the Recording Academy is only taking these steps now. At least they are taking these steps, but again, the big one, the jugular, is R&B. And we're going to try to tackle that. We might change it, but they need to fix that.
They've needed to for a very long time.
Yes. Hopefully they will soon. But at least for now, because we spend basically two episodes trashing the Grammys at the end of the year anyways, the Grammys have caught not the smoke anymore. They're good. We're done. We now begin No Chill Island.
The
rules of No Chill Island. First, it must be emphasized that Audioface is a show about morals. It has been a show about morals since day one. But in the spirit of that, No Chill Island is a a show where we explore and expand the morals of common discourse and conversation in the year, whenever year we're doing this. There are certain things you can do in No Chill Island back in 2018 that I probably wouldn't repeat now. We don't make them like that anymore. Go back to the old episodes if you want to know. But there are still standards now. I didn't figure out what number this was. We'll roll with it. It's definitely more than 15 because we've done a bunch of these. But
we're going to jump in it.
Let's begin the festivities, y'all. Rules.
Pretty simple. First one to get bleep loses. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the only rule. Is you try to get as close to the line so that way Dan doesn't bleep it. But then once someone toes over the line, then it's just like, no breaks.
Then the game kind of changes where it's like, first to get bleep loses to the one to get bleep the hardest.
The one with the longest bleep wins/loses as well, because then sometimes we've ended the podcast mid No Chill Island, like we can't use this, and we have literally had a 5-minute chunk where like we can't use this.
There have been times where we just like look at each other and go, I feel dirty for having recorded that with you.
Yep.
This is the smut segment of Audio Face, and so we're gonna go right into it. No. We always start No Chill Islands a little bit light, just to simmer a little bit.
But there was something called an election that happened, and you know, a lot of musicians threw their support, you know, backing different candidates and stuff, and we're gonna go in and
First off, we'll note that Joe Biden, the election was so weird, and I won't get into the election, because Power Report does exist for that, check it out, but Joe Biden did not, when it came to musical endorsements and things, was pretty kind of standard and dumb. The thing that Donald Trump was constantly running into was that he would play artists' music.
And they would tell him no.
Yeah, at his, like, events. And they'd be like, no, we don't want to be associated with you at all. And it just kept being a problem so much that a bunch of musicians had to sign an open letter saying, don't fucking do this. Yeah.
Don't use my music.
So. Yeah, it's been a problem for politicians for a long time, but it was a serious problem with Trump. Eminem, Marshall Mathers, one of Detroit's finest, lent Lose Yourself, as I call it, the Chrysler car commercial song, to a Joe Biden ad that was airing in key swing states for about 45 seconds around a couple of different places. Eminem has taken his like kind of anti-Trump bent over the past couple years more explicitly, saying that one time in that BET cipher, basically, that if you're a fan of Eminem's and you're a fan of Donald Trump, stop being a fan of Eminem's. Eminem doesn't want you. That's a pretty cool thing. If it wasn't clear, Eminem told Billboard in 2017 that Trump is, quote, a fucking turd. It says, a fucking turd would have been better as president.
Yeah.
So that's his feelings. Lady Gaga.
She did a whole thing at an election eve rally where she went on stage. Went to say to the crowd, hello, please vote for Joe. We said, vote for your life, like your life depends on it, or vote like your children's lives depend on it. She did like a bunch of things, like believe in Joe, all this stuff, which is kind of shilling for, you know, handsy Uncle Joe.
Yeah.
And going at it, I know there's like a little live concert event and she participated.
John Legend and Lady Gaga were there.
Yeah, John Legend also did participate as well. So,
and yeah, it's like John Legend and Lady Gaga are like pop celebrities. And Lady Gaga used to be very edgy because like, that was before like Lady Gaga was a very pro LGBTQ musician.
Yes.
On the cusp of when that was just like sort of publicly acceptable. But now, 10 years later, like John Legend and Lady Gaga are like hardcore libs. Meanwhile, like, Cardi B's not doing any special events for Joe Biden. She'll do like a live stream saying, "Yo, I wanted
I want Medicare, dog. Can you at least give me Medicare for all?"
Yeah, it's like, "Yo, yeah. I wanted Bernie, but make your case." And I think that's like the best middle ground of doing it. But yeah, no, this is good. Lady Gaga also did this introduction video where she was announcing going to Pennsylvania, where she was like by a raised like Ford F-150 Raptor, drinking out of a Coors Light bottle with like like military boots on, trying to be like as American as possible, but also being Lady Gaga. So I'm sure that was a little triggering. So, you know, that's nice. That's a little fun. But like we said, Joe Biden, as far as endorsements, was pretty light and not much to be talked about. Then we go to Donald Trump, who's also kind of funny because now in retrospect, you can see that all of these celebrities who decided to tuck tail and vote for lower taxes got egg on their face. But something that happened last Sunday after we recorded Audio Face that would have absolutely ended the show was Lil Pump deciding to endorse Donald Trump and appear with him at a campaign.
Friend of the show, Lil Pump.
Friend of the show, Lil Pump. Frequent guest, Lil Pump. He was... Well, let me read from Consequence of Sound because I just love it. Alex Young says, "The Harvard dropout rapper came out in support of Trump last week after apparently learning of Biden's plan to tax individuals making over $400,000 a year. In a clip Lil Pump posted to social media, he said,"
and I quote,
"Fuck I look like paying an extra 33 in tax for Biden, bitch ass nigga. Fuck Sleepy Joe nigga. Trump 2020, bitch." End quote. So, Trump is on stage at his Super Spreader event rally and says, "And now I've got a special guest to welcome you all. Ladies and gentlemen, Lil Pimp." And then the people who have like literally never
all the white folks with no masks on, all the old white folks in the background literally have no clue, are just cheering for
him. Who thought Cat Williams and a cane was about to walk outside. end up being surprised by one Lil Pump. I gotta get the government name. It's Gazzy Garcia.
Yeah.
Gazzy will go into that. It's probably like Enrique or something. Like, real, no offense to my good friend's name, Enrique. Lil Pump thanked Trump for bringing him on stage, spoke for very quickly, saying, I quote, he wanted to thank Donald Trump for bringing the troops home. He didn't.
He definitely did not.
And saying that you're doing the right thing. And Lil Pump said, and I quote, MAGA 2020, don't forget that. So maybe when Donald Trump runs again in the year 2020, he'll have a better chance. But, literally just...
The amount of stupidity that was in this feign was hilarious. And now, and also fun fact, he lost Lil Pump.
300,000.
He lost 300,000 Instagram followers. Instagrammo. After the Trump endorsement. So even some of his, smooth brain fans are like, yeah, we can't be friends with this one. So that's hilarious. But you know, Gazzy over here has a Gazzy ass brain and can't figure out math / the fact that Trump obviously didn't pull back troops. And all he cares about is money at the end of the day, because that's all anyone cares about when they're shilling for Trump, when, you know, they're killing his own people. So, you know.
Just see if there's some money in Tekashi 6ix9ine snitch fund.
Yeah.
Maybe you can use to those taxes. Or maybe you should have talked to Trump about just hiding his taxes offshore. Like,
exactly. Yeah, you know, I'll at least be like a good Republican and give and hide your shit, or at least short companies.
Yeah, celebrities are not your idol, even if they come from the hood, even if they come from the streets. They're people of color. Fuck them. Once they're celebrities, they're probably against you because at that point they're the elite class.
Yeah, very few of them are actually with you.
In the next edition of this Marxist show. No. next part of this, we talked a little bit on a previous Audio Face episode about Lil Wayne and his endorsement of Donald Trump, because Lil Wayne. Basically had a botched suicide attempt, had a cop save him, and now these Blue Lives Matter. And then that's the best way I can describe
basically
it.
And then he was saying how his, that Trump's plan, was it the what plan was it?
The Chase Sapphire Preferred Plan. No, the Platinum Plan.
I was going to say the Silver Cards Rewards Members Plan.
The What's in Your Wallet
the,
Plan.
What's in Your Wallet Plan for African Americans. He was shilling for that, saying, this plan is awesome. Meanwhile, he hasn't done anything at all for all the BLM stuff that's going on, all the protests, all the police brutality, and everything else that everybody's been like, dude, can you change? He didn't do any of that, obviously. So you're shilling for the wrong person just because a cop ended up saving your life at one point.
Beyonce, Lil Wayne. Beyonce, Rihanna. Mm-hmm. No name. There have been a number of artists who have used their position and power. Cardi B. I mean, like, YG has done more than Lil Wayne only because he made that Fuck Donald Trump song. Yeah. Which, by the way, homie's getting royalties this month.
Oh, yeah.
Homie's getting royalties this month. Seems great when
as stupid as YG is, at least he's smart enough to say fuck Donald Trump. Meanwhile, Lil Wayne's getting fucked over by his girlfriend because she's like, nah, dude, I can't be associated with you. She leaves him because of Trump.
Yeah, and another apparent, we report you decide. TMZ says that Denise Bedeau, Weezy's girlfriend of now, at the time, divorced, or like dumped, they weren't dating, so we'll get to that later, dumped Lil Wayne allegedly over the Trump thing. Her recently deleted Instagram account, one of her posts says, sometimes love just isn't enough. That fueled speculation, but she returned to Twitter, because she didn't delete that, saying that, I did not, it's absolutely false. I didn't just happen to choose the time that my boyfriend decided to take and make a photo op with the biggest racist to exist and have power in the United States mm-hmm. for the past 50, 60, possibly 70 years, all over tax cuts. Like, yo, you don't have to do the thing that happened where 50 Cent and Chelsea Handler was like, hey, slave, come back to my plantation. You only vote for Democrats. Like, it isn't even like that kind of deal. We have to have that relationship between girlfriend and boyfriend. But this is definitely a little awkward.
It's for Lil Wayne. Hilarious.
I wonder if Donald Trump makes fleshlights.
So the Sex Pistols, Johnny Rotten, he went full ass MAGA, called Trump the only hope, as friend of the show, Jesse Lee Peterson says, the great white hope.
No, Johnny Rotten, maybe he's been listening to Jesse Lee Peterson, maybe he's been like doing whippets of the Charlie Kirk show, I don't know, but he's got like big MAGA brain.
Here's the thing with him. Is he called into Good Morning Britain on Wednesday to discuss his support for Trump. He says, it makes complete sense to me to vote for a person who actually talks about my kind of people. So, you know, I might be, you know, I'm gonna...
Where are you gonna go with that?
I'm going to nominate him for the Hard R Award just for that statement right there. Because the only kind of people he's talking about my kind of people are the ones who, like Lindsey Graham, who are saying, you know, the good old days of segregation. He also said that Trump is not a politician, he's never claimed to be. How unusually exceptionally wonderful is that for people like me, working class people? Yeah, no.
This is the dog whistle, because like we spent this whole 4 years navel gazing of looking at the working class voter, but Sean was right. He had the tell in the beginning where Trump actually talks to my kind of people. The ones
in England who, like you're in Kilburn or something, and you're like, get them coloreds out of here. We don't like those people, like those kinds of English. The ones that don't like Indians as well, they're saying, oh my God, how did you lose India? We need to have that back as a colony.
The types of English who had Moors working in the iron welling fields in Manchester saying, hey, if you have them working on iron, you won't be able to tell the difference between their skin and the ash.
It's, fuck, Jesus Christ. It's like the ones when the Liverpool disaster happened where all the people got trampled, they didn't blame, poor things. They just blamed all the Liverpool plants because they're all, you know, people of color / working class people and poor.
Biden continued because he went on one. Johnny Rotten said, we're bored of intellectual left-wing ideas. We can't take much of you. You talk twaddle, everything you do, you just miss the point of who the general population are, meaning you talk with an IQ of more than 7. The interview took an awkward turn, reading, reporting from Alex Young, Consequence of Sound. The interview took an awkward turn when the Good Morning Britain host Susanna Reid asked Lydon about Trump's behavior on the world stage. Let me finish, Lydon screamed, saying, oh Lord, it does nothing for these people, nothing. And this is why they now support him so loyally, because he's only the only hope. And so it's like, okay, well, you support Donald Trump, and
yeah,
very
dude,
clear.
You're getting here's some of these things. Super, where, you're super nominated for the Hard R Award.
Appearing to read off of a piece of paper, Lydon regurgitated a bunch of right-wing talking points. Like, literally, this is just Shapiro brain. I've watched what the Democrats have done to California, let alone the entire West Coast. It's absolutely disgusting. It's chaotic, dogma-led, seems to have Karl Marx's agenda behind it. Like, what is it, Jordan Peterson here? Look at, he's saying, look at what your liberal-minded agenda has done to Portland and Seattle. the Anarchy in the UK singer said.
That's just the best thing, because that's what I was saying. Yeah. That's a really good punk rock song, too.
Do you want some more of that everywhere? 140 solid days of rioting? These people, like, they watch Fox News, they see a homeless person shit on the sidewalk, and they go, absolute anarchy in the streets! Like, San Francisco, Fox News runs the same B-roll of, like, a homeless guy shitting in San Francisco in the Tenderloin District. I almost said Sirloin District. in the Tenderloin District. Like, using that as their one attempt to say, Gavin Newsom has no control over the state. Does Gavin Newsom have control over the poverty issue in the state? No. Does Fox News care about that? Or would they rather send poor people into, like, an oven to make, like, mulch and heat hospitals with? Probably yes. So, it's not like they're the ones who actually really care about these things.
Here's one of my favorite things on Nurture Island. Moving on from that, or do you want to keep going?
Oh, no, we can move on. Yeah. I don't really care.
So, this is hilarious. You know, I'm a big fan of Rage Against the Machine. I love Tom Morello. I love their whole band, Prophets of Rage 2, whatever. But anyways, a bunch of Trump supporters danced to Killing in the Name around like a whole recount thingy or like the whole stuff of stop the vote and stop the counting stuff of people.
We've got to lay out the picture here because Donald Trump said that the election was going to be stolen from him because they were going to start counting votes. The night of the election where Trump would lead, but then they would count more votes than Biden would win. That happened because Trump told all of his supporters to vote day of, and the Democrats told all of their supporters to vote mail-in ballots so you don't have to stand in the line during a national pandemic. And the states have rules where they count the day of votes first and the mail-in votes next.
Yes.
Congratulations, Donnie, you played yourself. But nevertheless, but like what that meant was you had a bunch of his supporters in all these different places who were invariably saying, keep counting the votes, Donald Trump will win in some places, while also saying, stop counting the votes, the election's rigged. Right. And even then, if they stopped counting the votes, Joe Biden would have been ahead. Just to paint all of that picture, you have these people protesting meaninglessly at voting places in Pennsylvania and Arizona, Pennsylvania specifically in this case, and they're saying to stop the vote count and to re-elect Donald Trump, this right-winger. And to illustrate that point, they're dancing to Rage Against the Machine's
Killing in the Name. If you don't know that song, it's literally about, I'm not going to do what my country tells me to do. Example, I'm not going to go into a war because they tell me to kill somebody in the name of my government. I'm not going to
do
this.
What a conspiracy theorist. That never happens.
Exactly. The entire point of Killing in the Name is an anti-war, an anti-imperialism, an anti-government, an anti-pretty much anything, like anti-American imperialism, anti-American foreign policy song as you can get. And they're dancing to it because they are smooth brains.
I know I said I would save more of the smoke for power report, and I did, but you can't call yourself like an anti-government, like... Mm-hmm. Like 3%er, you are against all these like liberal thugs.
When if you shill for
and be Donald Trump's butt buddy, you can't do both. You can't fucking do both. Like these people who are cheering and absolutely simping for a man who is in power as the president of the United States is completely obscene. Come on. We got to set this up.
We've been talking about
Joe Biden and Donald Trump, the two actual people with a chance of winning a presidential campaign. We, as Audioface, have actually done a dereliction of our duty in not mentioning that Kanye West himself mounted a campaign for president. Yep. He got on the ballot in like four states. there were loopholes, but basically he wasn't in the ballot everywhere. It was last minute. He ran no campaign, and he went on Joe Rogan's podcast as recently as 2 weeks ago saying, yep, got in the bag. Kanye, baby.
Yeah.
There was one newscast, and I know exactly how they did this. I won't explain the inside baseball, but there was one newscast where, like, Kanye West got so few votes they didn't even have a picture for him. And it looked like one of the characters that you have to play Call of Duty to unlock to get to level 20 and have a certain amount of experience points. So, safe to say that Nate Silver was unable to project a victory for Kanye West, and that 2020 vision might need some, eye surgery. Kanye West lost. Fucking Kuhn got owned. I can't do it anymore. Because I've held back this entire time. What a fucking moron. I can't believe this jackass was gallivanting all over TV saying, and yes, apparently Kanye West ran because Obama called him a jackass. You're not a fucking jackass. You're a fucking joke. Your penis is tiny and your music is terrible, Kanye West. And you lost in the most pathetic way possible, like literally doing nothing. There's a photo of him. There's a photo of Kanye West looking at CNN on a very large screen, noting that like he's gonna lose it. And the amount of shame in Kanye West's like aura looks like a man who's come. And just like feels shame in what he's done. He's just like, oh my God, I made a terrible mistake. I need to just like, I need to go to church and confess my sins. It's like the amount of shame coming off of that man for embarrassing himself will be irrelevant tomorrow because he's just gonna go around and do some stupid shit again. So like, I don't know, this is just hilarious. I'm so glad that Kanye West is done. Real talk, I hope he actually starts taking his medicine. Please, but if he wants to continue embarrassing himself like this going forward, go ahead. Away, my guy. Frankly, I fell on the sword, so you can be free to say whatever you want to now. So,
you
you dirty fuck. You dirty goddamn. Okay.
that's enough for me. Delete that too, please.
No. Wait. He even said, and his response was,
"Welp."
Kunye 24, we're coming back at it. You get a car, you get a car. Big booty bitch for you. Ah! Like, the sad truth is Kanye West is probably gonna win. Or like, he's probably gonna get more votes in 2024 than you did in 2020. When you run successively, you will get more votes. But that doesn't matter that like, what can I say about this? No, I've gotta stop. Because the idea about Westworld was that we are going to cover Kanye West in a reasonable way, because everyone else in the media is covering him as a spectacle, and they will make fun of the fact that he lost the most easily, most predictable race of all time. But we need to respect him, that even though he is the biggest buffoon in music, he is going through a mental health crisis, and he seriously needs your help.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Also, his daughter's moving on. We're going to Spotify.
We're going to Spotify now. You know, our music overlords. So they're offering a boost to artist algorithm placement in exchange for reduced royalties. So basically, they want you to shill out some money, extra little things, to boost up your own royalty or boost up your own stream stuff. So that way it'll help. Mainly, this is going to help. It's called the discovery mode. It's potentially elevate a song's appearance to Spotify's autoplay and radio features. So basically, all this is going to do is get like the top 50 artists and make them overplayed as fuck. Meanwhile, you're going to fuck a bunch of smaller artists because they don't have the royalty. They don't have the thing to be able to accept less royalties because they need to make a living doing it. So all this is going to do is make you listen to Ariana Grande's shit pussy song 24/7 all over and over and over and over and over again. Meanwhile, you want to gouge your own eyes out because you're like, what is this shit?
Daniel Ek, go on to Joe Rogan's podcast and
Yeah, I'm down. Fuck it. You know what?
No, because
like, I got the rope right here for you. Like, ceiling fan.
No, I want the legs just like flying around, hitting the walls like every single time. He's like,
I want that. You know that famous shot in the Vietnam War where you see that South Vietnamese general?
What Spotify is doing is they're holding their artists for fucking ransom.
They really are.
Like, this is actually, this is artists. They're testing at like, Spotify is testing extortion. They're saying, hey, we're one of the only ways musicians can make a livelihood. Wouldn't it be don't you love the eighths of a penny we give to you every once in a while? Yep. Even though the musicians union is arguing for a penny per stream minimum, Spotify is like, hey, don't you love the fractions of a penny we happen to throw to you because we're so nice? We're gonna do this new thing where, in order to get where the major record labels are able to pay to put you at the top of all of Spotify's playlists, we're gonna give you a chance at that opportunity. Not guaranteed, but a chance at that opportunity. And we're just gonna take a few more of your pennies. Listen, we're giving you so much. You get the real estate. Come on, let's have some, because we're not running a charity here. Even though we're a $1 million company with a bunch of tech investors, we're not running a fucking charity.
We're good. We could do all of this for you. But
this is the same shit. No, like, honestly, I'm mad about this because this is the same shit Facebook did when I was starting Dan from the Internet. And I had 3,000 subscribers. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna like make this thing. I'm gonna make a thing out of it. And then they decided, okay, we're gonna start downplaying the role of your videos. Where my videos went from 100,000 viewers to like 400,000 viewers to 3,000 viewers. And they said, oh yeah, we made some algorithm changes, no big deal. But if you'd like your post to go back to all the people you've been following and who you've been sweating and trying to build a community for, just pay us $50 and we'll let your followers see your post. Like, that's the reason Mark Zuckerberg and Daniel Ek need to just get in line of live stream it on Twitch just so Jeff Bezos can masturbate. Like, I fucking hate Daniel Ek and Spotify and what they're doing to artists. They are routinely, every step of the way, everywhere, trying to fuck artists. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, it's this way of the big tech does not care about the workers and not care about the people who make big tech possible, whether it comes from the Uber drivers or the content creators. And it's like, eh, fuck you, you'll be here regardless. Yeah. We'll pay you pennies and we'll continue to get rich. No, Daniel Ek, eat the fattest.
Oh, God.
There's a program the United States runs called the Weatherization Assistance Program. They basically, I mean, we wouldn't understand this because we're like Californians and weather doesn't exist. But in parts of the country where like the weather really hits hard and every single year you like have different issues with your house and everything, you end up going to the Weatherization Assistance Program to get some help. The Milwaukee County Supervisor promoted the program on his Facebook page using Weather Assistance Program to be like a double alliteration and made a rap video for WAP.
Which is hilarious.
I just want to describe that Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, in a wonderful, like, traditional media fashion, described WAP as, quote, a song so vivid and explicit in its description of female sexual fantasies that we can't even describe the title.
What as P-word?
Bring a bucket and a mop for this wet-ass P-word.
I love closeted gays so much.
My favorite of the, I've said this before, my favorite moment of the entire Ben Shapiro thing was when he goes, beat it up, N-word, catch a charge. But yeah.
You know, the entire time he's reading it, his tiny little is going up just a little bit, and he's sitting there like, oh my God, I can put my on, and I hide it and go, oh my God, no, don't look up.
The first time Ben Shapiro saw WAP, his dick got so hard it circumcised itself and his wife punched him in the face. Back to this story. The official in Milwaukee, his meme caused the weatherization program to receive a bunch of complaints from saps and losers.
Saps.
From saps, losers, and people with boring sex lives. But Clancy's apology, he wrote, quote, my original sharing with this press release contained an image which did not accompany the original text. My embellishment of the press release was meant to draw attention to both this excellent program and to a song which has at its core a message about empowerment, reclaiming, and destigmatization. It landed badly. I'm deeply sorry about this. I'm deeply sorry that this added burdens of time and emotion to this exceptional staff that runs this program, and I hope nobody has mistaken my conduct for theirs. Like, yeah, I'm sorry there are, like, regular rank-and-file people who walk into the government have to deal with this, but, like, anyone who put a complaint against this person, just, like, yourself. Get a life. Like, I something.
Seriously.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So boring. Like, literally, it was just a meme of them, and the meme at the bottom said, there's some holes in this house. Because it's a weatherization program, and
it's
actually
houses. Very funny.
Come on! You goddamn boomers, please.
And,
because we are talking about Cardi B.
And we always like to end Audio Face on the best, funnest, you know, funnest is a word, fuck it.
Marty, I'm scared.
Word, you know, the best note we possibly can. Cardi B, you know, I love Cardi B. I love you. But what I'm going to say is going to be pretty bad. She calls off divorce from Offset. So she divorces Offset.
No, let's be clear. She re-undivorces Offset. Because she divorced him once before.
Because she broke up with him she's a noted little fucking bitch for trying to bring him back into his life when that stupid fucking dumb-faced tattooed motherfucker with a stupid chin hair that looks like pubic hair and glasses that probably don't work because he has 1910 vision because he's an idiot and can't speak the English language because he has a really shitty education because his country's extremely racist. He can't bring him back into your life because it's horrible, but you do because you're stupid.
But before the divorce, Cardi B said the relationship was irretrievably broken.
Exactly.
After the divorce, and when she said coming back, she said, I don't know, I just be starting to miss him. It's hard not to talk to your best friend. It's really not hard not to talk
to for that. You're sitting there like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I miss you. Fuck off.
People can sometimes make the mistake of breaking up with someone and then deciding to get back into the relationship under questionable circumstances. And so I understand that. Cardi B, you're being a like, what the hell? Like, you gotta stop, dude. Like, you just, like, just make the break. Make it clean. Cut your losses. Be confident in your words, as you are in a lot of your songs.
All of the shit he's done to you, like, all of the petty little small dick brain, idiot things that he has done to you, do not deserve bringing him back into your life in that regard. Granted, you do have a young child with him, but like, that's fine. Like, you know what? Live your separate lives. That's cool. Is he a freedom fighter? No, he's just going around sitting around a cage waiting for like the end of Migos.
I will give you the song. He definitely does have a pube goatee.
He does. It really does look like
that. Like a patchy little pube goatee there. But yeah, their relationship's going on again, and it's really. It's uncomfortable, but not unprecedented to nominate a woman for the Noted Little Bitch Awards.
Exactly. I'm sorry. Feminism over here. I'm sorry. We have a precedent to stop. And yeah, it has to happen.
Really, I talked about this with Sean, because it's like, okay, now we're in the awkward situation if we have to give a Noted Little Bitch nomination to a woman.
What do we call it? The Noted Award, but that's even worse.
That's absolutely worse. And even though that was meant in like pure thing, I'm probably gonna edit that out for your own sake.
Please, God.
But, I just like stick to yourself, Cardi B. Just trust your instincts. If it gets to this point where you constantly want to throw the whole man away,
it's not a man, but
yeah, like throw the sad excuse for royalties and pending sexual assault lawsuits, then yeah, go ahead, feel free.
And not just sexual assault ones, and just assault in general.
But at the end of the day, yeah, assault is general, rip iPhone 6 somewhere randomly. Yep. At the end of the day, the Audio Face Noted Little Bitch Award, I mean, one thing it's about for white men who quit Twitter, but the other thing it's definitely about is going back on something that you stood your ground on.
Exactly.
And we were willing to look the other way the first time when it was like, okay, this is a really bad thing, but they managed to come together. They're going to try to work through it because that is a one-year-old kid.
And
you
like,
know what? If that was the end, like, you know.
That's
the
end-all, be-all.
If in 10 years we had a Cardi B Offset entanglement segment like we did with Will Smith and we learned about that, then like, you know, God bless, all right? You know what? Polyamory, not the
moment. Yahweh blesses you, but you know.
But you can't decide whether or not to dump this fool. Do it. Just do it. And the fact that you won't, given that you had a chance, like, I'm sorry, the show's got rules. We're not running a charity here. I mean, arguably, but like, we're not giving any money away because there is no money to give. That's been Audio Face.
What does it mean to play us out, Dan?
Oh, Lord, I have to do this? I have to be the voice at the end of this? Okay.
Yes, please, for the sake of people, I hope to God jobs aren't listening to this.
Well, no, I died on this hill, so whatever. Thank you for listening to Audio Face if you made it this far at this point. Reminder that if you want to follow me on Twitter or... I should move my mic. There we go. Reminder, if you want to follow me on Twitter or Instagram, you can do so, but do you really want to? Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram, but his account's private, so like, why bother? Don't bother even looking for it or anything. The entire show can be found at Audio Face Pod, where we are tweeting and we are on Instagram quite a lot more than usual. For legal reasons, we'll separate ourselves from that because we are now at a lot of liabilities, so long as I make sure to bleep everything.
Please, God, bleep
everything. And hopefully I have. Hopefully you're listening to this going, oh, what did they say? What are they acting about? It seems so weird. I heard some, you know, censorship here, some music here, but all seems like a fine up and dandy podcast. And so I did a good job. It's a good job, Dan. This part's for me when I'm editing and I'm like tired, but we're all good.
Thank you very much, Dan, the editing man.
I need a lot of positive reinforcement. No, thank you very much for listening. We'll talk to you next week where we'll have new music, new singles, and a little bit more tomfoolery here and there. This has been Audio Face. Thank you genuinely very much for listening and cheers.
Bye.
Nate Silver has to top Daniel Ek.
Which I can see Daniel Ek being a power bottom.
No, I could. No. First of all, can we just note that the idea of Nate Silver, like, it's gonna be 538 Pulsar Nate Silver trying to fuck Spotify CEO Daniel Ek would be like a walrus fucking a McDonald's drive-thru window, like the McDonald's voice thing that's like, "Hello, how do I take your order?" It's like, "Yeah, Daddy, give me that needle."